passion will cease to be in that sweet and delightful dawn. To the poor we will bring good news. Oh, let us unite in love. Our faith will travel beyond the pews as we welcome the reign of God. Let us put on the clothes of Christ and live as equals with everyone. Let us put
way to start the morning. Thank you to our musicians. Choir is in its place. They're going to be singing for us. We're honored by your presence, and say hello to all those who forgot to set their clocks and are now joining us online. It can happen pretty easily, even though cell phones do help now, don't they? Good to be together. Thank you for coming out this morning, wet morning, reminding us of our baptism. And the order of service is printed on your bulletin. You can follow right along there. Everything will be projected for you as well. If it's comfortable now, I'd invite you to stand. Gathered in God's house, we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn is, "This is the day that the Lord has made." First shared prayer of the morning is the Kyrie. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy on us. This morning in God's grace, our hymn of praise. is Amazing Grace. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most merciful and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this new day. May our hearts and minds be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit, that we may be set free to live and love, embracing daily life and the daily ministry that you have entrusted to each of us. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The gospel lesson is from the third chapter of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As Rich makes his way back to the choir loft, it's just a testament to say that you can actually play in the bell choir and sing in the church choir and still read lessons and greet and things like that. So don't be put off by that. So part of the readings for the day, we usually have four readings in the lectionary, and the psalm for today is Psalm 107. So give thanks to our God, for God is good. So we're going to sing that for you and with you. So you have a refrain to sing, and we'll sing it for you once, and then you join us. And it's one time after that each time. So we'll get the choir to stand up. They'll sing the verses for you, and you come back in, and all the refrains. Give thanks to our God, for the Lord our God is good.
Giving thanks to our choir. Yeah. And Carl wrote that piece 27 years ago. We're getting older, Carl.
No, I'm not.
Good to be together. At the end of the sermon, just stay put, stay right in the spirit, and Carl's going to sing for us at the end of the sermon as well. Giving thanks to God. What a joyful beginning of our service, from "This is the day that the Lord has made" to that beautiful choir piece, reminding us of the gifts that we have as God's people. Now, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. These words in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus. Paul writes, "By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is a gift from God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast." What we have here is gospel. This is really good news. And if this is not good news to you, then you've never really understood the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of grace. By grace you have been saved. This became the hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the Reformation. You see, Luther had spent his life, his energy, and every moment of every day trying to please an angry God, trying to win God's favor, trying to do enough to escape the fires of hell. But he was haunted, and he was terrified, always wondering, was it enough? Could he ever rest in peace, secure that he had done enough to achieve his salvation? Would his daily confessions and considerable good works be enough? Luther had been led astray by the teachings of the church, a church that kept the Bible away from the common people, a church that sought to control the lives and behavior of Christians. And they did this by employing superstition, by instilling shame and guilt. And if you look back to the Dark Ages, to the world that Luther lived in and grew up in, the artwork, the sermons, the hymnody, and the teachings of the church gave graphic descriptions of the tortures of hell. Just look at that. If that doesn't scare you, you're not paying attention. The Last Judgment from the Sistine Chapel. Life was hard in the Dark Ages, with poverty and plagues and short lifespans. It was into this context that the church had a message. Hey, folks, you think it's bad now? You better stay in line, or the next world will be much worse. But as Luther studied the Bible, he had an epiphany. By grace you have been saved, and this is not from you. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are justified by God's grace as a gift. Gifts. Now, we all receive gifts from time to time, but the gifts we receive are unlike the gift of grace from God. I received a gift this past week, cookies, fancy decorated cookies, offered to me free for my birthday, a gift from a company that I do a lot of business with. The cookies were absolutely free, but not really. No, I didn't have to pay for them, not even for the shipping. But they would not qualify really as a free gift. This was marketing. They offered me this gift, thanking me for my past business and hoping to ensure my future business. Now, most of the gifts that we receive in life are kind of like that. They are thank you gifts, and they come with strings attached. They are based in past performance, or they are given in anticipation of favorable future behavior. Rarely do gifts come to us without strings attached. That does not necessarily diminish the gifts. It just puts them in a different category. The gifts come to us because we are good customers, or because we are good friends, or a good son, or husband, or coworker, or mail delivery person. Now, I should say that I did get a present this past week for my grandchildren. No strings attached. Here it is. I'm just not really sure exactly where I should wear it. But the kids got a kick out of it. They said, "Papa, it's in your blood." And I said, "I'm 9% Norwegian." But anyway, hear these words now. By grace you have been saved. This is not your own doing. It is a gift, pure gift. No strings attached. No boxes to check. No hoops to jump through. Grace, God's amazing grace, God's irresistible grace is celebrated here at Trinity this morning. And if we consider the big picture, then we'll realize that every good thing that comes our way in life comes by the grace of God. The Presbyterian author, preacher, and theologian Frederick Buechner reflected on God's grace with these words. The grace of God means something like, here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. The first gift of grace occurred without our knowing as God knit us together in our mother's womb. And that one was irresistible. Life is a gift of grace, and it is not our own doing. The gift was not given to us to keep us as a customer. The gift was not dependent upon our knowledge or our approval. Now, there may be things in our lives that we earn, but the gift of life is not one of them. Earned. That's an interesting concept, is it not? What have you earned in your life? Well, you earned a high school diploma by showing up for class. You earned a college degree through your studies, hard work, and sacrifice between parties. You earned a promotion. You earned a reputation. You earned a good friend's trust. Respect is earned. Here's a paragraph from an article that I was reading this past week. Everything in life is earned, not given, is more than just a simple phrase. It's a way of life. It's a philosophy that dictates that to succeed and grow as individuals truly, we must put in the effort required to achieve our goals and desires. It means that nothing in life comes easy and that everything must be worked for. Now, this type of motivational material can be helpful, and it is mostly true in a world where you see it and you do it and you reap it. We live in a country where the American dream can still come true. Hard work and discipline often brings its rewards. Everything in life is earned. If you want a good retirement, start early, have a plan, execute the plan, save as much money as you can, as early as you can, and then the golden years, well, might be golden. Our efforts are certainly important. If you want to have a home, then you must swing a hammer or pay someone to swing a hammer for you. Everything in life is earned, not given. Usually when we think of earnings, we think of money, do we not? We live in a capitalistic system. We earn and invest money. And if we do this in a disciplined way, then we have a better chance at success. Everything in life is earned. There is some truth in that. But I also find it to be self-absorbed, self-congratulatory, and self-righteous. You don't really think that the life and luxuries that you have living on Whidbey Island can be attributed to the fact that you are smarter or work harder than those who labor in third world countries, do you? It is a little more complicated than that. It is a little more complicated than everything in life is earned. Yes, the opportunity for success came to us mostly as a gift. And some of our failures are not a reflection of our faulty wisdom or our lack of effort. One of my favorite, really insightful and humbling sayings is this: all my life, I've been eating from trees that I did not plant. I could add that all of my life, I've driven on roads that I did not pave. I've attended schools that I did not build and enjoyed freedoms that were given to me by the blood and sacrifice of others. Good planning, hard work, discipline in spending and investing, everything in life is earned. Try sharing that good news with Michael J. Fox or Bruce Willis or any number of our church members who have had to bury their children or grandchildren. The world we live in is not as simple as everything in life is earned. The world we live in can be harsh, unforgiving, and lacking grace. Our experience with the law is harsh, unforgiving, and lacking in grace. Success or failure in the eyes of the world is not as simple as you get what you deserve. Our life is a gift from God, but we do not arrive here on this earth fully formed or predestined for success or failure. No, there are intersections in every life. At this intersection of our lives, there's a merger where our free will choices merge with our family of origin, with good luck and bad luck. Our DNA is always present. And we know that not every child has an equal chance in this equation. Some things in life are earned, but much of life is determined by events that occurred before our birth, circumstances that are totally out of our control. Life is a gift, but life is not inherently fair. Success is more likely with hard work and sacrifice, but success rarely occurs in isolation. The rugged individualism of our country does not reflect reality. Those who believe that they are self-made are delusional and often self-righteous, victims of their own egos. Now, Luther taught about free will. And Luther taught that our free will is limited. It has limitations. Luther talked about the things below. The things of this earth offer us plenty of opportunity to exercise our free will. We are free to eat as we please, but if we eat every meal at the shortstop, we will live with the consequences of that decision. We are free to be faithful or unfaithful, and we'll live with the consequences. We can observe civil laws or break them, but we'll live with the consequences. We have free will in many areas of our daily life, but there are things, Luther said, that are above. Those things that are beyond our free will, above our pay grade. We cannot overrule the laws of gravity or physics. We cannot choose to live forever. We do not have the capacity to change reality or to change the heart of God. Salvation is a God thing, a thing above. Consequently, our salvation cannot be earned. God's love cannot be attained through our good works or our intellectual endeavors. God's love is not for sale. If that were the case, we would be like Luther, living in fear, always wondering if we had done enough, if we had confessed enough, if we had given enough. And that's no way to live. For God so loved the world. That means God loves you. And that love is unearned, unmerited, unconditional, irresistible love. For by grace you have been saved, and this is not from you, it is a gift from God, it is not from works. And that does not leave us a lot of room for boasting, does it? God sent Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And here we see God's amazing grace. God loves us when no one else does. God loves us when we're not quite sure that we love ourselves. My friends, you can rest in God's grace. You can open your hearts to God's grace. Luther came to realize that God is not an angry God. No, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So where does that leave us this morning? Well, if you believe that everything in life is earned and life is good for you and your family, then you can indulge yourself in this self-absorbed illusion. You can pat yourself on the back, self-made woman or man that you are, self-righteously looking at those poor souls around you and saying, you reap what you sow. You should have made better decisions. Should have worked a little harder like me. But if you come to see everything as a gift, if you come to see everything as a gift from God, every meal, every sunrise, every sunset, every breath of air, every tender hug, every neighbor, every day, a gift, then you will truly be set free. Free to trust God, free to express your gratitude, free to pay it forward, free to pass it on. Grace, you see, understanding grace, it drives up our gratitude while dispelling our self-righteousness. Good works, good decisions, and hard work are not discounted, but the motivation for our good works flows out of our gratitude for the gifts that have already been given to us, the reality of God's never-failing love, and the promise of eternal life. And how does this understanding of grace inform your relationship with your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or your neighbor? Might this grace have some bearing on how you treat your coworkers or even the strangers at our southern border? The author and theologian John MacArthur said, "If I'm not showing grace, have I forgotten the grace I've been shown?" Grace frees us. God's grace gives us the security and the humility to pass that grace on to others. Last week, we pondered the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that changed the focus of our religious expression from appeasing God to our ethical treatment of our neighbor. The outward expression of our love of God would no longer rely on sacrifice. That expression would now find meaning and purpose in our faithful service by living honestly and with integrity with our family and our friends and our strangers. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with God. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is a gift from God. My prayer is that we might rest in God's grace, that we might recline into the arms of the one who will always love us, that we might drink deeply from the wellspring of grace, and then that we might pass it on and pay it forward. No more grumpy, judgmental Christians. No room for boasting. Quit keeping score. Quit holding on to the past and claim your place as a grace dispenser, a contagious carrier of grace. Amen.
Jesus, King of angels, heaven's light, shine your face upon this house tonight. Let no evil come into my dreams. Light of heaven, remind me how you made dark spirits flee and spoke your power to the raging sea and spoke your mercy to a sinful man. Remind me, Jesus, for this is what I am. The universe is vast beyond the stars, but you are mindful when a sparrow falls, and mindful of the anxious thoughts that find me, surround me, and bind me. Sovereign Lord, tomorrow let me love you even more and rise to speak the goodness of your name until I close my eyes and sleep again. Beyond the stars, but you are mindful when a sparrow falls, and mindful of the anxious thoughts that find me, surround me, and bind me. Jesus, King of angels,
heaven's light. Hold my hand and keep me through the night.
I would invite you to stand as we lift our hearts to God in prayer. Rich is going to lead us in the prayers. We have a sung response, Lord, listen to your children praying. We'll sing that once now, and then after each petition, we'll return to that sung response. Let us pray.
As we pray, gathered as one branch of your beloved family. We give you thanks, O God, for we know you as good. Through your grace, you have saved us, and you have called us your own. You have not condemned this human family, but have promised us life everlasting. We call to you. In many ways, we have wandered from your vision and have brought about division, whether because of skin color or gender understandings, faith traditions, or geography. We have not always lived up to your vision of who we can be, the beloved community. As we encounter differences, let us replace judgment with curiosity, so that we might know the beauty and worth of one another. No matter our differences, we call to you. Life was given for the sake of the world. Let us press on to honor that gift by striving to honor and know the children of Ishmael, as well as the children of Isaac, and bring an end to senseless warfare, to restrain the use of power over others. As you have called us to do justice, know mercy, and walk humbly with you, we call to you. Among us, O God, whose health is failing, who whose families are troubled, who know loneliness or despair, or who are nearing death. Give them peace and strength to find their way, and give us hearts to uphold them in their times of trial. We call to you. Let us open our hearts and walk in your ways. Lift up a vision among us of who we can be and who we are becoming in your name. You have loved the world. Let us live on in your love. In the name of Jesus, your beloved. Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Share a sign of peace and greeting with one another. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that greeting of peace. Take that good energy right across the hall where there will be cinnamon rolls waiting for you. Coffee, cookies, cinnamon rolls this morning, so come on over. Read your bulletin every week. Lots of things going on in our parish, in our life, shared life together and ministry. So read those announcements very carefully every week. Ask questions. Get involved. It's your church, folks. This Thursday, the potluck meals have been great. They've been at the meal. Some of you have been there. Mm-hmm. They've been fantastic. We've had about 70 people coming out. Wide variety of food. Lots of good fellowship time together from 6 to 7 in the gym. Potluck. We eat what you bring. And it has been very joyful. And then at 7 o'clock, hold an evening prayer here in the sanctuary with a preaching series on the Psalms. And that service lasts about 30 minutes, 35 minutes maybe. So we'd encourage you to come out this Thursday for that meal and service. What color? Purple's the color of Lent. But what color are you going to wear next Sunday? Thank you. Green. Okay, St. Patrick's Day next Sunday. So if you want to bring some green food, cookies, what's green? Guacamole? Wear green if you have it. We'll celebrate. How many of you have a kilt at home you could wear? A few of you, yes. Okay, wear a kilt, wear green. Green food, coffee hour, should be a lot of fun. Next Sunday morning. I'm going to call on Lana, I guess. Volunteer.
Good morning. And if you need, if you don't really have green and you need like an extra something, I have a few of these just in case you might need something. So, all right, first one. March. So in the gym on the far wall, so you have to kind of take a few more steps, but that'll be fine because of having cinnamon rolls today. You'll have lots of energy. The signups are still out there. Out there you will find usher, greeting, and coffee hour. Okay? We have quite a few openings still in March. For those of you that are kind of planners ahead, April is out there too. So if you have your calendar, you could even sign up for a few weeks in April. the signups that aren't out there, Altar Guild, we set the table for communion, and lay reader. If you have any interest in those type of things, all you need to do is just talk to me, and we'll get that all put together for you. All right, now the big one. You know, I know you've really missed me.
More costume changes than Taylor Swift.
But there's a reason I'm not in choir. Easter is coming really soon. Services at 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 11, which means you get to do, in two more weeks, you get to lose another hour of sleep. You know, today was at 7 a.m., kind of in my mind. So then at Easter, it'll be 6 a.m. So that one's a good one. Come, we start outside. That's a lot of fun, as long as it's not raining. In the gym, obviously, I put everything in the gym. Just on the left-hand side, remember where Rally Day signups were? You'll see Easter, kind of cute little chickens or something. I don't know. We need ushers and greeters. Now, we have a lot of visitors that day that come, and so we really need a lot of people to kind of help out, get people moving around. And at the 11, we do need coffee servers. So if you are able to help out or you're interested, please find me or find the signups in the gym, and let's all get together and have fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. So a thank you to the congregation again for supporting our youth. I just got back from Camp Lutherwood last night. I was up there for the elementary retreat. This was our group from Trinity. We took eight of our first through sixth graders up and joined a bunch of other churches for a 24-hour retreat. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The weather was cold and windy, but perfect for photography. So that was the whole group. We got up there Friday evening, stayed the night, and then just did all kinds of wonderful activities yesterday. So yes, this was our all camp games and lots of fun. So thank you, Trinity, for supporting our kids and helping us to do fabulous, fabulous things like this. We have all kinds of fun together. Let's see, looking forward, Sunday Forum. There is a brochure on the table in the narthex. Today at 9:30, I'm speaking about prayer. Talking about prayer, why we pray, how we pray, what it means when we pray, different tips and techniques and strategies. So join me at 9:30 in the fireside room. Next Sunday, Reverend Dave Ellingson will be here. He is known as the Paddle Pilgrim. Dave was one of my favorite professors at college, so it's always fun to have him here. He's going to be speaking about his kayak adventures through Southeast Asia. So a really interesting adventure that he was on fairly recently. So I encourage you to come and hear him next Sunday at 9:30. In the gym next to Lana's wonderful Easter sign-up table, you will see two large cardboard boxes full of empty Easter eggs. So if you want to take a bag of plastic eggs home to fill for Easter, for our Easter egg hunt, that would be wonderful. Just have them back here before Easter morning. Fill them with goodies or individually wrapped candies or whatever fun trinkets you want to put in there for the kiddos to find would be wonderful. Thank you for that. And speaking of Easter eggs, family fun night this month is moving to Wednesday the 20th, and we're getting together for dinner that night and decorating Easter eggs. So again, fun for people of all ages, Wednesday the 20th at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Lana and Deacon Amy. It's all a reminder that Christianity is not a spectator sport. You know, we all take part in whatever way we can, and thank you for that. Do you have anything, Carl? No?
Do not.
Okay. Verna, Easter Garden's coming, Verna.
Putting them there. So if you have things that you're planning on putting We do have 36 pots of tulips that have been ordered, so we'll have some color, but we'll need some support. So if you've got plants that you can share, leave them there by Friday afternoon before Easter, and we'll make use of them. Thank you.
All right, talk to Verna if you've got plants at home. It's really magical to see what happens between the Good Friday service and Easter morning here on the chancel. It is really quite magical. And thank you, Verna, to you and your team. Four more years, Verna. Four more years. As we move towards the end of the service, and if it's comfortable, I'll invite you to stand. We pray together now, praying and singing as Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. As you depart from this place of worship, go out those doors and find your place of ministry and service. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our sending hymn, This Little Light of Mine.